question is, how can that happen in our society today? Because I think it can, I think it is beginning to happen, and I think that that is the issue before us. But the one thing I'd like to say that connects what I've just now said with where I started out is that when most of us as Christians and as theologians try to answer that question, we make a very simple assumption. Here we have the Bible and the Christian tradition. We take this, speak it, translate it, interpret it, and it exercises its power as a messianic language. The problem I have is that I believed that for about 20 years and functioned on that basis in Latin America until I discovered that it wasn't true. And that's the problem. Why is that the case? Well, I think there are a whole lot of different reasons for that, and I'm not especially interested now in getting into the whys of it. If you don't experience that as a problem, I'm afraid I can't convince you of it. But just to hint at it, what I discovered when I was in Brazil was that the language of the Western theological tradition as it had been expressed systematically was not the language of the third world, and by and large not the language of the oppressed. What I've discovered in a technocratic society is that by and large the language that has developed out of the metaphysical perspectives and worldview of the marriage between Greek philosophy and Christian theology is not the language of a functional technocratic society. What I'm discovering day by day right now is that for an increasing number of us, that language is simply not our language. And it has very little power to be a messianic language for us because it has not arisen out of our history and our struggles as a language which operates in that way. In other words, our Western theological tradition, however tremendous and powerful it is, has developed as the response of the power of the gospel to the human struggle in certain historical situations of tremendous importance. But those historical situations are not ours. And what we have today is not the story of their struggle to connect with, but the results of their struggle. And that has held up pretty well for 1,500 years. I don't think it does any longer. And one of the reasons why I don't think it does is because I think that many of us today represent a different consciousness entirely, created by a quite different human situation. And just to indicate what I mean, I'd like to read one brief paragraph from a book called Woman's Consciousness, Man's World by Sheila Rowbotham. Maybe some of you know her, or of her works. But this is what she says. We had no means of relating our inner selves to the outer movement of things. All theory, all connecting language and ideas which could make us see ourselves in relation to a continuum or as part of a whole were external to us. We had no part in their making. We lumbered around ungainly like in borrowed concepts which did not fit the shape we felt ourselves to be. Clumsily we stumbled over our own toes, lost in boots which were completely the wrong size. There is a long inchoate period during which the struggle between the language of experience and the language of theory becomes a kind of agony. It is not just a question of being outside existing language. We can never hope to enter and change it from inside. We can't just occupy existing words. We have to change the meaning of words even before we take them over. Now, when I was reading that, my first thought was, yes, if I were a woman, I'd have that problem with the systematic theological statements and tradition that I pass on to other people and had passed on to me. And then I thought a little more, if I were a black, I would have that same problem. And then I thought a little more, if I were a third world person, I would have that same problem. And then I thought, I have that same problem. Now, where do we go from here? That's the question I'd like for us to discuss. But I think that Professor Moltmann gave us a clue in what he said on the night of the convocation. And it is that when we are in a situation like this, the question is not whether we give importance to a powerful tradition that has broken down or not. For me, that is not a question. I assume that there is no other way we live or move to the future except as we draw power from our past. The question that we have is, how do we break our connections with a tradition and reconnect with it in such a way that it once again emerges as a messianic language to break open our world? And my suspicion is that where we start is not by dealing with hermeneutical questions, but by developing a messianic lifestyle, by beginning to discover what it means to live in such a way that we transgress and violate the limits of our closed world. And as we do that, we may be surprised to discover not only let the language of the biblical story becomes once again a powerful messianic language for us, but also that in the process of doing that, we begin to discover ways of thinking critically and creatively which open up a new theological era. But for that to happen, as far as I'm concerned, we have to begin by recognizing what we don't know, begin to discover how we speak to each other in our ignorance, and in the midst of the breakdown of our situation, in hope.